But you guys, it says the following: there's a malach in Mitzrayim, the malach that is the angel of Mitzrayim, the tsar in charge of all Mitzrayim. His name is Rahav. And you might see him in other places quoted as different names in certain places. He's also known as Mitzrayim. He also might be known as something different, right? Ra is actually, this is what Rahav is based on. That's exactly it. If anybody knows Ra, the name Ra is Rahav, is based on exactly that idea. It comes from Roshei Tevos of Rotfeim. Is Reshei Beis, and that's what Rav was. He was very powerful. The Malach of Mitzrayim was very, very powerful until Yosef HaTzadik came. Yosef HaTzadik was able to break him in half by taking away the hay from Rahav and making him into Resh Beis, into Rav. Now what that means is that if you take certain letters in the Torah that are Ravazim, to this Malach, Bar is Resh Beis for this Malach of Rahav, who is broken in half, taken the hay, or the hay was taken away from him and became Resh Beis. Yosef from then on was known as Edus B'Hosef Sabo. That's the shame that we use this morning in our Tehillim, Pei Aleph, that we say for today's Tehillim on Yom HaChamishi. It's Edus B'Hosef Sabo. This hay from Rahav was added onto Yosef at Tzadik's name, and it was given to himself. That's why Yosef HaTzadik said to the people at the end of the parsha, Hei lechem zorah uzratem, here is your grain. He took the hay away from Rav and he gave it to himself. That was the power that he had, and he was able to make the malach b'machnia itself to him. Now Yaakov knew something was going on at the time. He did not have full nevuah. He didn't have the full nevuah that we're used to, so he couldn't see exactly what was going on, but he knew something was going on in Mitzrayim, that Rahav was being destroyed, and he didn't know why. He said, Yesh Shever b'Mitzrayim. Shever means there's something being broken. Something is going on in Mitzrayim. There's something wrong there, and I don't know exactly what it is. He couldn't find out there. Only later on did he realize that through Yosef's koach, Rahav was destroyed, and that's what ended up happening.
Why is that a bad thing, though? Either way, you're destroying the mouth.
No, it's not a bad thing. He didn't know what it was. When Yaakov saw it, he said, Yesh Shever b'Mitzrayim. He sent the Shvakim to go find out what exactly it was, to see what was happening in Mitzrayim. He was sent a galus, wagons to ride in from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. But the Yalkut Shimoni says that he refused to go inside them because there were shemos of Avodah Zarah all the way inside throughout the entire caravan, throughout the entire chariot. There were names of Avodah Zarah all over inside there. It's likely that the shemos, says the Chassam Sofer, were those of Rahav, Resh Ra, that we have in our language, Ra, right? That was the name of that was inside there. And Yaakov knew there was no Kiddusha left in that Malach. There was nothing more that he could do. He couldn't be Mevar any more Kiddusha out of that tumah that was there. So instead he refused to go in the Agalos. He didn't want to be anywhere near those Agalos because it was broken. There was no Tikkun that he could do inside those Agalos. It was already made by Yosef HaTzadik. So he was carried down to Mitzrayim instead. And that's the line, Rav Od Yosef Bini Chai. Rav is Resh Beis. Rav, as in now the Malach of Mitzrayim, is Rav and no longer Rahav. And Od Yosef, the extra little bit, the hay of Rahav, was given over to Yosef and Bini Chai, and now he's able to live through that extra little bit of Kedusha. When Yosef passed away, some of that Kedusha that Yosef HaTzadik had was passed back to Rahav, and Mitzrayim started to become powerful again. And it became so powerful, they were able to rule over Bnei Yisrael to the point where Rahav died. When did Rahav die? He died on the banks of the Kriyas Yamsuf. After Bnei Yisrael were watching the whole Kriyas Yamsuf crash down on top of the Mitzrayim, it says, Vayar Yisrael's Mitzrayim. It doesn't say that Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. It says Mitzrayim, Egypt itself. The Malach of Mitzrayim was dead, Al-Safiyam. That's where Rahav was. Rahav was then dead and he was completely gone. The Medrash says, this is, that's part number one. Part number two is the Medrash tells us that Roi Haya Yaakov Leirid Bishal Shalom Shal Barza. Yaakov Avinu should have gone down to Mitzrayim with chains of iron. He should have been, seemingly, should have been chained up and brought down to Mitzrayim as if he was going to jail. That's what it should have been. But because Yosef HaTzadik, because... That's good. because Yosef HaTzadik ended up having, what's it called? Because Yosef HaTzadik ended up going down in a different way, because of everything else that happened, Yosef HaTzadik went down and he became the king and everything happened like that. So Yosef brought Yaakov Avinu down with a lot of cover, with a lot of honor. Why would that have been so? Why did Yaakov deserve to go down in chains? And if he did deserve to go down in chains, why was it different now that Yosef was in charge of Mitzrayim? So the Chidush HaRim says a very, very different shot. Shal Shalos always means, it does mean a chain, but it also means a lower level. Meaning, it's a chain that goes up from Shemayim all the way down. Had Yaakov Avinu had Yosef HaTzadik together with all the Shvatim and Eretz Yisrael, they all would have been on a tremendously high level. Yosef HaTzadik, all the Shvatim working together with Yaakov Avinu, that would have been on such a high level, they would not have been able to do such a Yerida, to go down to the level of Tumas Mitzrayim, especially because Mitzrayim would have been full of Tuma, because there was no Kedusha down there, there was no Tzadik down there to take care of them. To go from the Kedusha that Yaakov and the Shvatim and Yosef HaTzadik would have had, down to the level that Mitzrayim was on, would have been a tremendous, tremendous Yerida, and he would have had to go down level by level in order to accustom himself to Tumas Mitzrayim, so he wouldn't just die when he went down to Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov would have needed. It would have been very hard for Bnei Yisrael to handle that, and possibly it would have been a worse Golus because of that. It would have been on the 49th level of Tuma much, much quicker. Who knows what could have happened? We have no idea what could have happened. But now that Yosef was gone, now in Eretz Yisrael, it was a little bit weaker. They weren't as kadosh now that Yosef HaTzadik wasn't there, because Tzadik Yesod Olam. Yosef HaTzadik was the Yesod HaOlam. And because he wasn't there, it wasn't as kadosh in Eretz Yisrael. And in Mitzrayim, it was much better in there. Yosef HaTzadik made them all get bris milas. He made sure that they wouldn't have a Yerida at all. He sent them to Goshen. Goshen was an area outside of Mitzrayim, so they wouldn't be living inside the city proper. So they'd be separate from all of the Mitzrayim. Because Yosef HaTzadik went down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu would have to have such a Yerida to bring himself down to the level of the Mitzrayim. Now, he doesn't need that. Now he can go down exactly as he is, and he can be just as kadosh. He can send Yehuda ahead of him to make yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, to make sure that there are yeshivas that are ready for them when they come down to Eretz Yisrael. And Yosef HaTzadik set everything up. That's what can happen when Yosef HaTzadik was sent down, and therefore it was a much, much a better thing that Yaakov Avinu had Yosef HaTzadik down in Mitzrayim. Now, we're going to concentrate on this pasuk, and it has a lot to do with what we just said. Mem Vav Pasuk Chof Tes says the following. We're going to read it through. It says the following. Vayesor Yosef Markavto. Yosef tied up his chariot, or got his chariot together. Vayal Likras Yisrael Aviv Goshna. And he went to go greet Yaakov his father to Goshen. Which means that he was in Mitzrayim proper. Yaakov Avinu had already landed in Goshen. He was already there in Goshen. And Yosef HaTzadik is going out to Goshen to go greet Yaakov Avinu for the first time. Vayera Ilav, and he appeared to him. Vayipal Savarav, and Yosef HaTzadik fell on his shoulders, and Yaakov Avinu's shoulders. Vayek al Savarav Od, and he cried on his shoulders a lot. Vayomer Yisrael, Yosef, Yaakov said to Yosef, Amustafam, I could die now. That I now have seen your face because you are so alive. So the questions are obvious. Number one, what does it mean, Vayera Ilav, and he appeared to him? Just saying, he went down to Goshen. Obviously, he appeared to him. What does that mean, Vayera Ilav? That's number one. Number two, why is everything in singular form? He cried. He fell on his shoulders. What about Yaakov Avinu? Why didn't Yaakov Avinu cry when he first saw Yosef HaTzadik? So both questions are answered by Rashi. Simple Rashi, right? Everybody knows the famous Rashi. In fact, he says, Vayera Ilav, Rashi says, Yosef Nira El Aviv. When Yosef appeared to his father and saw his father, it's Vayiv Kol Sarvod. So Rashi says a whole thing about Chia. It says, Aval Yaakov lo nafal stavar Yosef. Yaakov did not fall on the shoulders of Yosef. Lo nashkon, he did not kiss him. Our rabbis tell us he was reading Shema the first time that he saw Yosef HaTzadik. What happened? Rabbi Victor Miller, who's well known for his crazy little chaps in the middle of nowhere. Rabbi Victor Miller once saw his daughter crying. She's crying profusely in the corner. So he went up to her, and he knew what happened. A doll was broken, or she lost something, or something happened, whatever it was. And went up to her and said, if you're going to cry, you might as well cry for the base of Mikdash being destroyed. That's what he told his daughter.
That's a tremendously high level. Obviously, that's not something, I don't know, if somebody would tell me that, I might punch him in the face. I'm crying. Stop it. Just don't come up to me right now. I don't want to deal with this right now. But Rav Victor Miller told that to his daughter. And this is exactly what Yaakov Avinu was doing over here as well. Part of being an Adam Shalom, a full person, a real person who understands what his job in this world is the realization that every mundane act you do in Olam Hazeh, whether it's drinking a cup of Coke or sitting down in a chair in front of a table, can be full of ruchnius. Full of ruchnius. Now here's the pshat. He said he didn't, Yosef Atzadik and Yaakov were arguing about the following type of idea. The Chidush HaRim says from his Rebbe the Kutzker, when Yaakov Avinu felt such a tremendous love for Yosef, when he felt such a simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for giving me Yosef. He was so happy to see Yosef Atzadik. Instead of running up to Yosef and giving him a big hug and kiss, and just saying, I can't believe I've seen him after 22 years, my favorite son, he channeled all of his energy together, and he used it for Avodas Hashem. And he said the greatest darn Kriya Shema you've ever heard in your life. He said a Shema Yisrael you've never heard before. He put all of his energy into that Kriya Shema. The purest Gashmiyastika Ahava, the purest Gashmiyastika love that he could possibly put, and he put into his Shema, said he was screaming it to Shemayim. It was the best thing you've ever heard. The Maral Diskin goes through this. The Shemi Shmuel understands it this way. That's exactly what ended up happening. He was Maktish. He gave over to Hektish all of his feelings toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what about Yosef Atzadik? What about Yosef himself? Why didn't he feel that? Why didn't he give his Abba to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did he have to hug and kiss Yaakov Avinu? The Chidush HaRim says that's the difference between Yosef and Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu had brought himself to a level where he no longer was in this world. He was a man of Olam Hazeh, but now he's an old man. He's done. All of his life is based on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's done with things in Olam Hazeh. It's nice to see Yosef Atzadik, but that's not the important part of life anymore. My important part of life is giving over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be davuk to Hashem. But Yosef Atzadik, his whole life was being davuk to Hashem while working. He was an eved. He was a shepherd. He worked for Paro. He was the guy in charge of everything in Mitzrayim. He never got to learn the same way he learned before. In fact, he names Menashe over the fact that he forgot all of his learning. I don't have time for it anymore. I'm only able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu while I'm working. Because you can still do that. Because even that phone call that you have to make, even that person that you have to deal with, that email you have to make, is still a way of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard, it's very hard to get there, but you can do it. It still is a way of serving God in an unbelievable way. That's what the Kedusha Rim says Yosef Tzadik was all about. He's all about hugging and kissing his father Yaakov, and that making himself davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That making him suck to God. That's what he was able to do. While Yaakov Avinu was beyond that. Yaakov Avinu wasn't in the midst of such things. He was beyond this world. All he thought about was God, and that was that. The Paris Yosef says another answer. He says Yosef Atzadik was in the midst of another mitzvah. Yaakov Avinu channeled all of his energy into Kriya Shema. What did Yosef Atzadik channel all his energy into? Kibud Avim. He took all of it and channeled into one mitzvah of Kibud Avim, and he made it into that mitzvah instead of Kriya Shema. That's a great answer from the Paris Yosef. But the Chassam Sofer asks on that. The Chassam Sofer asked on that answer, and he says, but Yaakov was doing a mitzvah as well. What mitzvah was Yaakov Avinu doing? If Yaakov Avinu would have hugged and kissed Yosef, or anything to Yosef, what mitzvah could he have done?
Oh, Malchus.
Kibud Malchus. Very good. Kibud Malchus. He would have been Mechabed the Melech. So the Chassam Sofer says, if Yosef Atzadik was channeling all his energy into Kibud Avim, then Yaakov Avinu should have channeled all his energy into Kibud Melech. He was a Melech. He had the status of a king. He had the status of a king. As we'll see later on, people were bowing down to him. He was 100% the status of a king. So why did he need to do something different and say Kriya Shema when he could have channeled all the energy into Kavod Pnei Melech? Why not do that? Here's Pshat. Says the Chassam Sofer, Yaakov Avinu knew the following about Shema. Shema is comprised of six words. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Okay, all together 25 letters. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ve'ed is also the same way. Six words, 25 letters altogether. 25 letters altogether. Each one is the same way. Six
and 6 for the 12 Shvatim being able to be together as one. Yaakovino himself is number 13. He is the 13th. That stands for Echod. Echod being the Gematria, Aleph Ches Dalid, of 13 altogether. When Yosef was gone, they had never been able to say Shema correctly up until that point. Because when they were in Eretz Yisrael, there was one missing. All the words weren't there together. They were never able to say Shema the same way until they came down to Mitzrayim and saw that Yosef HaTzadik was still a tzaddik. He remained a tzaddik, that he didn't sin with Ishes Potiphar. And therefore, at that moment, they were able to say, now all 12 Shvatim are tzaddikim together. Now, Yaakov says, now we're Echad. And now I can say Shema for the very first time. This was the first time, said the Chasam Sofer, that Yaakov said Shema in 22 years. Sure, he said it, but he didn't feel the same way. Now he was able to say Shema. The first time he has the ability to do it, yes, it's important to kiss and hug your son. But he said, the first time I can do Shema, now I have to go ahead and say Shema. So why didn't Yosef HaTzadik say Shema? He thought he sinned. Yosef HaTzadik, his whole life, was worried that he had done something wrong. At the end of his life, he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he becomes bones instead of his whole flesh remaining after death. We all know tzaddikim don't rot. Their flesh doesn't rot. Their bones aren't. It's not the same thing. They remain their whole bodies even after death. Yosef HaTzadik specifically says at the end of Vayechi, take out atzmosai mizeh. Take my bones out of here. Because he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu for himself, for all of his flesh to rot, to be machaper for any sins that he might have done while he was the king on all of Mitzrayim. That's what he asked for. Yosef HaTzadik was always worried about a kapar. He never thought he was a big tzaddik. And because of that, he couldn't say Shema because he still didn't think he was a tzaddik. He never understood himself as being that way. So there's still 11 of them. There's not 12, and therefore he couldn't do it altogether. Nitzfar Shlomo, the Radomsker, says the Shvatim never thought there'd be such an issue when they sold him. But Yaakovino knew it immediately. Vayetzu ha'echod meiti is what he said. I lost my echod. I lost my unity. I no longer have 12 Shvatim going together. I can't say Shema anymore. And even the Shvatim realized at the beginning of the parsha, v'echod einenu. We haven't been able to say echod the entire time when without Yosef HaTzadik. Now with Yosef HaTzadik, they're able to say a full Shema. Now when Yosef HaTzadik was there, and that's why Yaakovino stopped right at the beginning and said, my first time that I can say Shema in such a long time, you better believe I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm doing it right now. Meshach Hoffman says something different. You know, there are four things you have to concentrate on when you say Shema. Chazal tells us that you should not do it while you're saying Shema. When you're saying the words, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad, all you should think of is the translation of those words. Shema Yisrael means Bnei Yisrael should understand that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem who is known as our God, is Hashem Echad, the one God. That's how we translate it. That's what you should think of. That's all. No other things should go through your head during that time. And so do Baruch Shem Kavod Machzol Olam Ba'ed. All you think about is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of kavod, and the honor is something that we can't imagine. At the end of all that, you should think the following. Four things. Number one, there is a mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Number two, I have kavana to be yotzei my mitzvah while reading this first line. Number three, there is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. I to accept upon myself the yoke of heaven at this moment. And number four, I am willing to be Moser Nefesh at this moment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm willing to give up my life to God. All four things have to go through your head. And also, Chazal tells us you should concentrate on the up, down, all four sides. Echad, the Ches, has to be up, down, the Dalet, all four sides. We don't know how to pronounce that correctly. You're going to mess it up. You're going to say Echad or Echad or whatever it is. So we don't do it then. We do it afterward. We think to ourselves up, down, everywhere around. So there's really five things to think of, but four important lines you have to think of. Mesiris Nefesh is the definition of Shema Yisrael. I'm willing to give up my entire life. You know where we learned that from, right? Where do we get that from? From which Tana? Rabbi Akiva, who said Shema Yisrael at the end of his life, very, very end. Brachos, Samach Aleph, Samach, the Aleph Amad Beis. That's where it ends up coming from. The Shem Yishmol. Shem Yishmol says that there's a lesson being taught over here. The Meshech Chachma says the same thing as well. The Or Sameach from Divinsk. He said the first thing that Yaakov Avinu did in Galus is to show us what we need to do while we're in Galus. How to live our lives. It seems we have a man in the palace. It seems we get our own city. It seems we're rich and powerful, which the Shvatim were, and we have our own place, and we have no effects of the hunger here. It looks like everything's going to be okay in this Galus. And at that moment, Yaakovino tried to tell the Shvatim, that's where we're wrong.
It looks good in Galus. It looks like you have everything you need. We have a house. We have cars. We have work. We have everything we need in Galus. It's still not Eretz Yisrael. You still have to think to yourself, something might happen. There's still an aspect of Mesiras Nefesh that you have to give up. Yaakovinu is starting Galus, and he says, Shema, to bring in Rachamim for Klal Yisrael. To say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to die as a kapara for the rest of Bnei Yisrael. I know that something's still off over here. Yaakovinu is so scared going down to Mitzrayim. He brings korbanos before he goes down to Mitzrayim. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be? What's going to be with my people? Even though it looked so good. Yosef's the king. There's no hunger. Everything's all good. It's never good if you're going down to Mitzrayim. That's what he teaches us. And he teaches us that the one thing that we can do, if we want to be able to help ourselves, we want to strengthen ourselves in our goals, is say Shema Yisrael. It's what Eliyahu Navi taught the little kid who was dying in Churban Bayis Sheni. Eliyahu Navi turned to the kid and said, all you have to do is say Shema Yisrael. And the little kid picked out. He said, ha! Silence. We shouldn't say such things. And he picked out the little idol that he had in his pocket and he kissed it and he died. And the Eliyahu Navi said, these people don't realize what they're doing. If only they would say Shema Yisrael, that's all they need. All they need. And that'll save them from everything. It's supposed to be a school. And I know everybody's into schools wherever you are. If there's ever a chance that there's a riot around where you work or where you're living or where you're wherever it is, saying the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kibod Malchusol, saves you. Yeah, there's also the school of tzitzis. There's also the school of not doing it. That's also out there. Okay, you can get around. But Shema Yisrael is an unbelievably powerful tool. Unbelievably powerful tool. And if done correctly, it will work. That's how powerful Shema Yisrael is. Marl Diskin goes through that there was never Mesiras Nefesh up until that point. This is the first time when Yaakovinu was able to say, Amusa HaPam. Now I can mamish be Moser Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until now my life wasn't worth living. Now I'm willing to die for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now my life is worth living. Now I'm willing to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but now I have a pshat. Then it says over this pshat, it is absolutely unbelievable. I do not bring a Mikras Gedolz that is a Targum Yonasim and Uziel. Listen, to be very frank, there's two different Targumim that you'll see inside your Chumash. One is Targum Unkelus, which you'll see in the side of almost every Chumash you have. Targum Unkelus was translated by Unkelus Ager. We all know who Unkelus was. Unkelus was the grandnephew of one of the Roman emperors. He learned under Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, the same Rebbeim as Rabbi Akiva. So Unkelus lived at the same time as Rabbi Akiva. He saw the Churban Bayis Sheni and he wrote down a pshat of the Chumash within Targum Unkelus. Almost all of Rashi is based on the pshat ideas that Unkelus brings down. But there's another pshat behind almost every pasuk. Another way of looking at all the other pesukim. And that's brought down by Yonasan ben Uziel. Yonasan ben Uziel precedes, he comes before Unkelus Hager by three generations. Yonasan ben Uziel was the greatest, I shouldn't say three, two generations. Yonasan ben Uziel was the greatest Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan of Hillel HaZaken. The lowest of those Talmudim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, so however you want to put it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was contemporaries with Yonasan ben Uziel. Yonasan ben Uziel, the Gemara says about him, Sukkah Chav Chasim and Aleph, it says that any bird that flew on top of his head, it burned up. Burned up when it flew over his head while he was learning. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. I'd love to have that happen to me. But Yonasan ben Uziel was able to have that happen. There's a Targum, Yonasan ben Uziel, a Targum that he had. It's a different shot, a little bit different shot than anything that's there in Unkelus. A little bit different. It's still in Aramaic. It's still hard to read, but he adds on so much more, and he gives a little more drush inside the parsha, and it's awesome to see. There are those that say that it's not exactly Yonasan ben Uziel, it's from a later generation. I don't give a darn. It's written as Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. So you write it as, it's supposed to be Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. This is what he says right over here by this pasuk. It says that he went by Yerul Abayipal Tzavar. He says the following. He says, "V'kodam v'yishmodo avoy sagidle." Before his father saw who he was, he bowed down to him. Yaakov bowed down to Yosef. And because of that, Yosef was chayiv to lose years from his life. Yosef got upset, and he felt bad about what he did, and he bent over on the shoulders of Yaakov, and he cried on Yaakov's shoulders for the fact that Yaakov Avinu had just bowed down to him. What's going on here? what happened? Why did Yaakov Avinu bow down to Yosef Atzadik? And why did that make Yosef Atzadik cry? A great Yonasim Nuziel. I saw two Berushim. This is from the Netziv. Yosef still wanted, if you remember from last week, his whole plan was to be Makayim the dreams. His whole plan of what he wanted to do is to make sure the dreams happened. He had a Nevuah. His Nevuah was that, number one, the 11 sheaves bow down to his sheaf. That already happened. That's done. The sheaves bow down to him. All 11, Binyamin included, they all bow down. Now he had to have the Shemesh, the Hayoreach, the Achadasor Kochavim, Mishachavim Li. He had that Achadasor Kochavim, but he didn't have the Shemesh and the Yoreach yet. He didn't have Yaakov Avinu and Yaakov Avinu's wife, the Yoreach, whoever was Bilhah at the time. He didn't have those bowing down to him. And he needed to be Mekayim the dreams. He knew it was a Nevuah. And a Navi is Chayiv, says the Netziv, to be Mekayim a Nevuah, to try to make sure that the Nevuah happens. So what did he do? He put on Big Day Malchus, clothing that a king would wear, and he placed a crown on top of his head that was given to him by Paro. And he went out to go greet Yaakov Avinu. As he was far away enough from Yaakov Avinu, he assumed that Yaakov Avinu would think it was Paro, and he would bow down to Paro, along with his mother, and along with the 11 brothers that were there, and they would all bow down to him. That would be the Shemesh and the Arab, Achadasor Kochavim, Mishachavim Li, and he would be Mekayim the dream. And why would Yaakov Avinu bow? The Kavod HaMalchus. In honor of the king, he would bow down. And it worked. And Yaakov Avinu bowed. But when Yosef HaTzadik came closer, Yaakov Avinu saw him and got upset. How could you let me bow down to you? Remember, Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov were in a machlokas whether the dream was real Nevuah. Yosef HaTzadik was positive it was Nevuah. Yaakov Avinu yelled at him and said, "Baviv Shamar is a Devar." He held on to it. He said, let's think about it. But he wasn't positive it was a Nevuah. On a Suffolk Nevuah, you're making me bow down to you? That was the one that Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef. He yelled at him. He yelled at him. How are you trying to be Makai in the dream when you're not positive it's Nevuah? Yosef HaTzadik was positive it was Nevuah, but that was the machlokas. Yaakov Avinu said, how can you make me do such a thing? To remove his mind from such thoughts of kas, such anger, because Yaakov Avinu getting angry is not a very good thing. What happened the last time he made a curse? Rachel Imenu died. He doesn't want to curse anybody. He doesn't want to say anything bad. So the one thing that he did to get his mind off his anger is he yelled out, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Says in its teeth, that's why he was saying Shema. To get his mind off everything else, so he'd just think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu and he'd forget the fact that he was so mad at Yosef HaTzadik, so he wouldn't say anything wrong. He wouldn't yell at Yosef HaTzadik. He wouldn't do anything like that. And he would be dovek with Hashem and he'd forget about everything else there. Yosef HaTzadik realized his father was upset. And when Yosef HaTzadik realized his father was upset, he cried over the fact that he may have made a Chilul Hashem and he might not have even been Mekayim the dream. In the dream, the Shemesh, the Areach, the Achadasar Kochavim were bowing down to Yosef. Here, it wasn't Yosef, it was Paro. They were bowing down to what they thought were Paro. It wasn't Yosef. In the first dream, the 11 sheaves bowed down to a sheaf of wheat because they didn't know it was Yosef. Yosef was hidden. In the second dream, it was everything Mishachavim Li. To me, says Yosef. It was bowing down to me. So he wasn't Mekayim the dream. They were bowing down to Paro. They didn't think it was Yosef. So he wasn't Mekayim the dream. So he cried. He cried and sat on Yaakovinu's shoulders and begged him, forgive me, Father. Please be mokel me. I'm sorry. I wanted to be Mekayim the dream. In the end, the dream was Mekuyim. Later on, Yaakovinu bowed down to him on his deathbed. Then it says, Vayishtakvo Rosh Amita. He meant to bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it ended up being to Yosef. But Yaakov was upset and therefore he didn't hug or kiss Yosef at that moment. But eventually his severeness, his sourness passed. And he said, Amusa Pa'am, I can die now because I finally got to see you again. Then he was able to hold his rachamim. His Shema Yisrael worked to be able to get his rachamim off. What are you going to say, David?
If you figured that out a second after this all happened, why didn't you know that to begin with?
It's a good call. He had a suffix. He was willing to go on this with the Suffolk, and that was exactly the machlok as Yaakov and Yosef.
Now,
Yosef.
In the end, he's crying, so in the end, he clearly agreed.
Knew it, yeah.
So what happened since then that made him...
Whatever it was that made Yosef think that was the best idea, whatever it was, we don't know. But that was the idea. There was machlokas. Who knows? Maybe it was machlokas based on pshat. In a suffix, do you go lechomra or lekula when trying to be mekayim a dream? I have no idea. But he held a suffix. He found out from Yaakovinu that he had paskened incorrectly, and therefore he cried over it. In the end, Yosef HaTzadik did lose years of his life. This may have been the reason.
They thought it was a parallel anyway, so it wouldn't be the question of the dream.
But Yosef HaTzadik originally thought that it would be okay. Originally thought it was there. Maybe he thought that in the dream it didn't say straight out Yosef was standing in the middle. Maybe Mishtachavim Li means they bowed down to me and I was dressed up as Paro. Maybe that's what the pshat in the dream was. We don't know. But Targum Yosef Uziel says, because he should have forewarned his father and let his father decide what to do, tell Yaakovinu, listen, I've got a dream to be Mekayim. Can you bow down to me in order to be Mekayim the dream? He should have asked him. Maybe that's the reason why he was punished. That's what he should have done. He didn't do that, and that's the reason why he was punished. So here's our summary. Rahav versus Yosef. Rahav was originally in charge, and Yosef took over for Rahav and took over all of Egypt. The chains of Yaakov. Yaakov should have had a Yerida, but because of Yosef, no Yerida was needed. Kriya Shema by Yaakov. We said, channeling your energy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was finally able to do so after 22 years to show us it was his first act in Golos, and saying that it was the Mesiris Nefesh. Now he's willing to be Moser Nefesh. Until now, death meant nothing to him. And our fourth shot that we have over here is what happened between Yosef and Yaakov. He was trying to be Mekayim the dreams yet again. And at the end, it seems he failed in trying to be Mekayim the dreams. That's shot, guys. We'll end it. Have a good Shabbos.